pretty appropriate. Tony Basilio and you. It's another edition, ladies and gentlemen, of your Dalton Behring and Hydraulic / Smartway Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The group that's bringing us in here, ladies and gentlemen, the Super Suckers. That's pretty much what Tennessee did tonight. They super sucked. They didn't just suck tonight, they super sucked. As Florida pounds Tennessee's eyes shut tonight, a lifeless Tennessee team that was out of that game from the very, very get-go. And of course, Dorian Smith, of course, everybody gets in line. Tennessee loses tonight 66-49, 9 losses in 11 tries. Tennessee is 14-14, 6-10 now on the year. And, again, I ask the question, how does this team 14-14 on the year with what they have? That makes people mad. Most lopsided loss of the season. Tennessee has now lost 5 in a row for the first time since 2000-2001. Which, if I'm not mistaken, would be Jed Ball time in Tennessee, 2000-2001. Vols lose 66-49 in a game that really, quite frankly, wasn't that close. And we are now on the air, talking Tennessee-Florida tonight in a game where Florida came out and absolutely drilled Tennessee's eyes shut from three-point land. Let's bring the great Keith Hatfield in without further ado. Hatfield, good evening to you.
Tony, how are you doing?
Been better, been worse, been better. I'm sick of losing to Florida in every damn thing we play.
No, we're not very good against them, and the effort Tennessee put out there tonight, of the 350 some odd D1 teams, there aren't many you would have beaten, especially with what went on in the first half. That's an atrocious half.
Not going to sugarcoat it, are you?
Well, no, I mean, that's just, this team has the look of a team that, well, you know, Tony, I'm an NBA guy to an extent. That looks a lot like a team playing game 78 of an 82 game schedule that knows they're done. That's what that looked like. That looked like what you'll see if you watch, I don't know, just name random bad Eastern Conference team playing the Kings.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what it looked like. That's well put. It's well put, Keith. 5 straight losses.
And the effort has been this team's calling card.
Yep.
And I'm like, see, a lot of times this year, there have been games you could look at and go, was the effort that great? But you give them the benefit of the doubt because they've played so hard. Well, they don't get that tonight. I didn't think tonight the effort, especially in the first half, was remotely good.
5 straight losses, first time since 2000-2001. You know, Keith, we knew the stretch of the season was going to be tough on this team. We knew they didn't have numbers. I mean, it stood to reason that sooner or later, as I've been saying here recently, the bill was going to come due. And boy, has it.
Well, I mean, other than the losses at home to Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, there's nothing in there that I look at and go, how does that happen? But they were in most games. They weren't remotely in the game tonight, and that's a horrible Florida team. That's probably, if it's not Billy Donovan's worst team, it's his second worst team behind his first one. So there's no reason to get blown out by them. They just lost to Missouri.
Here's a number for you, because the numbers are now mounting. Last time a Tennessee team, now they have 10 losses in the league. Buzz Peterson's final year, Keith, 2004-2005, 10 years ago.
Oh, no. I
mean, this team's putting up some Wade Houston.
Tonight was Houstonian, and the other night against Vanderbilt was Houstonian. I wouldn't lay that on this team till now. The last couple have been just utterly atrocious. And part of it, one reason I think the fan base is kind of sour now is say what you want about Konzo Martin, and we talked about this on the show yesterday. This is the first time in 10 years we'll go to Selection Sunday that we don't have to worry about it. We can enjoy and sit there and just write our brackets out. We don't have to sweat it out. We don't have to worry about anything because Tennessee's not going to be mentioned on Selection Sunday. Unless Kansas State wins out next week, makes a nice run in the Big 12 tournament, then loses the final, and ends up not making the NCAA tournament because we beat them.
865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us tonight. This is enough to make you feel punch drunk. What happened to us this evening? Keith, is it just one of these deals where when you get in a stretch like Tennessee's in, you see teams just light it up from you from the outside? I mean, Florida has struggled all year to play a complete basketball game, and tonight they played a complete game. Tennessee got no closer than 15 in the second half. Florida never let off the gas, but even more than that, Florida came out and shot 80% from three-point land in the first half.
Well, I think part of it is kind of the when it rains, it pours phenomenon. We've had some pretty average shooters shoot far better against us than you would expect. But part of it probably, a lot of that may well just be perception, just because we're frustrated, we keep getting beat, and it just seems that way. I mean, Luke Kornet is a decent, at best, Division I basketball player. And he was Christian Laettner in here against us the other night. And then tonight, we get worked over by a team that has struggled to get to 60 points against pretty much anybody with a pulse.
Good news is Tennessee baseball beat UC Irvine today. That's just over 12-10. So.
Oh, so they took Mercy to give him one in that series. Nice.
Hmm. 865-200-5402. I don't know what to say about that game other than thank God it's over. Keith, this team going to win one of its last two this weekend to finish 500?
Unless Johnny Jones really, really Johnny Jones is, there's no way we win Thursday. And unless Tennessee's got to bring more effort. South Carolina, for all of their faults and their flaws under Frank Martin, at least they play hard. And we've played hard, and this isn't me knocking this team, because they've played hard 90% of the time. But if they come out with the effort they played with tonight, they'll get beat next Saturday. That's just... Because playing, when you got mediocre or bad teams playing, the team that plays harder will win 90% of the time. So, we've at least got to match South Carolina's intensity next Saturday. If LSU loses to us in their building, they should not take an NCAA at-large bid. They should go ahead and cancel the season. Because that means they just completely stiffed however many people show up in their building for that game because they flat didn't show up.
Let's get as many folks in here as we possibly can tonight. Tony Basilio and Keith Hatfield with you. Keith had a listener watch party tonight down at Crown and Goose in the Old City. Keith, is that right?
Yes. People have enjoyed themselves.
Did you have a good time?
I would have had a much better time if we could have made some shots and actually guarded somebody, but I always enjoy my time at the Crown Games.
And I was playing guitar tonight, Keith, across town. And what venue was I at, Hatfield?
It was in Fountain City. You were at the Casual Pint Fountain City.
I was at the Casual Pint in Fountain City playing a little bit of rock and roll and a little bit of jazz. So I had a lot of fun there. I had a couple of folks shooting pictures of me. They said, I didn't realize you did that. And I said, well, I didn't realize it either until tonight. So first time playing out in a while, and it was a lot of fun. So hopefully I can get back up there to the Casual Pint after about 20 minutes on the air here. I'm planning on giving you the 20 minutes that the Vols gave us today.
I'll put it this way. I love our audience, Tony. If there are more than a handful of phone calls tonight, I'm going to implore people to go out, take your wife to dinner, go have a couple of shots of Jägermeister, do whatever. Watch whatever college basketball's on. There's not much to discuss out of tonight's game.
To the phones we go. Let's get our first call in. Speaking of which, and hello and welcome to the program. You're on your smart way, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Tony Basilio, Keith Hatfield, hello.
Where's Larry, Tony?
Hey, Phil.
How you and Keith doing?
Phil, trying to kill our basketball program, Phil. It feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess I have to go to the bar, too. If Keith and you're going to go to one, I guess I need to go to one, too. You know what I mean?
Hey Phil, I'm gonna stay here and watch the late games at the Crown and Goose. You're welcome to come right on down.
Would you buy Philly a drink?
I've never met you, Keith. I've just talked to you on the air, so I guess I need to meet you sometime.
Would you buy Philly a drink, Keith? Would you buy him a drink?
I will buy Philly a drink. He can come right across the bridge. We're right at, it's straight downtown, right across the bridge, Philly. Just come from South Knoxville. We're good with that.
Philly, we've lost four straight games now to Florida. In basketball, that makes me want to drink strychnine. We can't beat them in football. We can't beat them. And we used to get a feel-good win over them every once in a while in basketball, Philly.
Yeah, it's over, isn't it? I mean, y'all pretty much summed the whole thing out. Is this team gassed or they quit or both? I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's going on? I mean,
I don't know.
I wasn't real moved by the effort tonight, Phil. And granted, when you've lost 8 out of 10 and you're in that kind of, look, I mean, they're college kids. I can understand. And most of those guys, I mean, it's not as if they're a team that they should. The team last year in Missouri that I made so much fun of, Tony, those guys should have bucked up. They had no reason to end up in the NIT because that cost all those guys a bunch of money in the NBA draft. I mean, I don't know how this team looks at something and goes, okay, let's turn it back up, because there's not a lot there for this team to accomplish.
No, and furthermore, Phil, Tindall's practices are hard. You know, in a lot of ways, it'd be a relief to these guys if the season ended. So, I just think I think these guys are worn down, and I think they've had enough.
Yeah.
And you know, in a lot of ways, we've kind of had enough. I mean,
I've had enough of it too. I'm ready for the season. This first time ever. I mean, well, I guess since the Buzz Peterson era, I'm almost glad season's over with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. The finish line, if this team somehow wins against South Carolina, wins a game in the SEC tournament, it ends up 500, at which point I think they're still eligible for the CBI, I'm all for telling the CBI to take the third place team in the Southern Conference.
Oh, no, I don't want in the CBI.
Yeah, I agree.
This team needs to be done.
Yes. Let's go out and find some JUCOs or prep school players or something, because he needs to get some players in here that can put the ball in the hole.
You better believe it.
I mean,
well, he's got to get some size.
Yeah. He's going to have to run four or five of them off. He's got to get his own team in here. What's coming back? Amani Moore is a pretty good player.
Yep.
And outside of that, I don't see much over there. I mean, Tariq Owens might be a good player in 2 years. I mean, you know, he looks like he's talented, but he weighs 190 pounds.
I mean, I like McGee.
I like punter. I'm a punter guy. I like punter.
And I think McGee's going to be a nice player. And I still think, guys, that
Carmichael can be a player.
Even though he looks lost right now, guys, I still think Mostella will be a nice player in time. He's got too many skills not to be.
Well, that's all about five players we've named right there.
Yeah, and you exactly have a 13-man roster.
I'm still waiting on Hubs.
Well, Hubs has degressed in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's.
I don't know. I mean, and if Kevin Stallings can recruit players to Vanderbilt that aren't highly rated and shoot, why can't we?
Well, look at the way that A&M's recruiting right now. Now, granted, I realize that's got a whole lot to do with Rick Stansbury going in there and telling Billy Kennedy this is how the SEC works. But no, I'm a Phil. We got to get basketball players.
I'm looking at something, Philly, from Rocky Top Talk. They charted a game. RockyTopTalk.com says that 13 of Florida's 15 made baskets were threes, Phil's. Threes or dunks. 13 of their 15 made baskets in the first half were threes or dunks. 9 of Vanderbilt's final 13 baskets were threes or dunks, helping them shoot 100% in the final 14 minutes the other night. Tennessee's defense now, guys, is a sieve. Once you hit a couple three balls, it's over.
Well, what have I done all week, Tony? I've made fun, or at least since the Vanderbilt game, I've made fun of Chris Walker. And all Chris Walker ended up with a decent night.
Yes, he did.
Because all he did was dunk. Because
we have no inside post presence.
None, Phil. And Carmichael, if he breathes on somebody, Philly, gets foul called on him.
Well, yeah, he gets a foul called running down the floor tonight. I mean, I think there's no
running
doubt.
Down the if, floor. Running
the
down the
him,
floor.
He's the guy that you grew up with driving around an old beater that sells weed. He's going to get stopped every time.
Interesting analogy, Philly.
Yeah, puts it all in a nutshell, though.
Sure does.
I mean, that's who Willie is right now. He's getting called every time.
They're profiling him, Hatfield, on the way down the court.
Yes.
Well, Tony, you told me the list of players last week. Is there any way Donnington's going to be able to get some players even with this NCAA cloud over? I mean, surely you can get JUCOs and prep school players to come in here. I mean, offer them starting positions.
The point guard we like is the guy, Philly, they've got to get. And Hatfield, it's important they land him, isn't it? At a junior college.
Well, they've got to get Gray, and they've got to get
Gray. They have to get.
Well, they've got to get some size.
Yes.
So yeah, Rob Gray. They've got to get. Week, is who they want to get.
Yes, he was scouting him on. Let's see. He scouted him on Tuesday night. Yeah, absolutely. They've got.
Well, they
to
want
get.
Those three guys. I think they want the three guys they went to see in that game.
Yes, sir.
They want Kamani Jackson. They want Malik Trent. They want Rob Gray.
Yep. And if they got those three guys, Phil, that would help an awful lot because Kamani Jackson's a guy that they're calling another, and you could do a lot worse in this system, but they're saying he's a bigger version of Armani Moore.
Go ahead, Phil. Out of Chicago is supposed to be a pretty good ball player, and I think, of course, I don't know about the guard from Georgia. They got, you know, signed. I don't know how good he is.
Keith likes him. You like him, don't you,
Keith? Yeah, I like both of them. I think the problem is they're guys that I look at and I think if they're the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth best player on a team, you've got a good team. The problem is we've got to get some bell cows in here is the problem.
Yeah.
And that's what Robert Hubbs needs to be. And that's what Dietrich Mostella needs to be because they're the two guys that have the physical talent and they look like the guys who should be those guys. But Hubbs
hasn't
done it.
Obviously, Mostella's not very smart, and I think Robert Hubbs don't have enough fire. I think that's part of their problem. I mean, they do have talent. You see the talent, but it's just not coming together.
But, Philly, smarts, can't you eventually, when you start talking about smarts, can't you eventually, Philly, get there? Just
basketball.
Yeah.
It's a read and react sport.
Especially Tindall's system. Tindall's not asking anybody to diagram a sentence out there.
He's not Pete Carril.
No.
We're not running Princeton stuff.
No.
Yeah, and then John Calipari's going to go undefeated. I'm already tired of that, ain't you?
I'm not sure they're going undefeated, Phil.
Well, I hope they get beat, but who's going to beat them, McKeith? I mean, tournament.
Honestly, Phil, if Virginia gets healthy on a neutral floor in a one-shot deal, who do you like?
It's Virginia and Kentucky?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I like Virginia's coach, but I still think Kentucky's got a lot more talent than Virginia. I mean,
in a one-game deal.
Game and make them, you know.
Who else is out there that can beat Kentucky? Wisconsin could beat them just physically. I'm just looking at that.
No, you know who's going. You know where Kentucky's going to be biting their fingernails
where?
Is in the round of 16. Watch and see who the four seed in their region is. If Wichita State isn't the four seed in their region, I'll buy both of you dinner next week.
Wow. You're calling, they're going to stack it on them, huh?
Oh, you know what they're going to do? They're going to give Wichita State their payback for the nonsense last year when Kentucky was the, they were not the best eight seed of all time. The ridiculous eight seed UCLA had that knocked Cincinnati out in Pittsburgh in 2000, I think it was two, was the best eight seed of all time. But no, they'll give Wichita State a rematch with them.
NC State's probably going to be an 8 or 9 seed, and Osmer and 1 seed, I won't play that team. That team's got all kinds of talent.
Mm.
Handsome Jed, though.
Yeah, he's handsome.
See, that's the problem with Handsome Jed. He probably won't get out of the first round. They'll give him an 8 seed, and he'll get beat.
I still see how LSU's got a lot of talent, and that guy can't coach a lick. I mean, I watched that
not
today,
a lick.
And I mean, it's just amazing to me.
Not an absolute lick, Phil. They have top 10 talent in the country easily.
But you got the best. Texas going up in the NIT.
Unbelievable.
Is Rick Barnes getting on the hot seat there?
Well, the thing was, he was on the hot seat going into last year. Everybody thought they would be terrible last year, and he'd get fired. They had a great year. They bring everybody back, add a guy who's probably going to be a top 10 pick in Miles Turner. And now, granted, that league's a meat grinder, but there's no way that team should be in the position they're in.
Yeah.
Hmm. Philly, thank you, man. Great talk.
Yeah.
Hey, great talking to you, brother. 865-200-5402.
Do we have a Catholic Fulton score or a Fulton Carter score tonight?
Do not have a Fulton Carter score thus far. Did you go to Fulton Catholic last night?
I did not. I got sidetracked.
Brian Hartman with a pretty good number for us. Tennessee did not win a single game in regulation in the month of February. The one win was that win in Vanderbilt. And if it wasn't for that, that was a lost month. And you know what? We were laughing that night because we broke Vandy's spirit that night, which is probably, there's probably some truth to that. But Vanderbilt turned around and they crushed us like a bug the other night. They stepped right on us. Like a bug. Let's go back to the phones. And Tennessee did not get up. The second half of that Vanderbilt game, and when the air came out with 13 minutes left, that was, in my opinion, 53 of the worst minutes of basketball they've played this year since building that 13-point lead.
Oh, especially consecutively?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no. So they haven't played two complete what-are-you-doing games back-to-back all year, and
yes,
they did the last two.
Let's go to our phones again. Our next call in here, hello and welcome. As you're on your smart way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime.
Hey, Tony?
Yes.
This is Tony Vasilio, Tennessee, 10th inning.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
What's going on, man? Good to hear the Vols win at their UC Irvine, getting that baseball win in. That's about all I got good to say, man.
Yeah, I think they're 2-2 now in that series out there, so at least that's something.
Yeah, you know some of the guys there that we hang out with and talk on a regular basis. So I'll just talk about are the players giving up because maybe they know something that nobody else knows about Tindall and the coach situation. I understand that. That's a pretty good theory to worry about because we did see that with Bruce Pearl, didn't we?
No, I think that's right. What do you think? I mean, you're over there around them.
Yeah, no, it's not there right now. I'll tell you what is there: some frustration, some people wore out. And Coach Tindall is—he's still coaching them hard, man. You're right; he's running them. They're going, but they're coming out. And for some reason, they're not playing hard for him right now. And they're not the guys I know aren't upset with him. I'm telling you what—the whole atmosphere is different, Tom. Just being around him, something's up. It's not the coaching thing. I think they're wore out.
I think you're right. And you know what? At the end of the day, when you only have 8 or 9 guys, I mean, come on, fellas, especially. This league, Keith, is not great, but there are 5 or 6 NCAA tournament basketball teams in it now, whereas last year there were 1 or 2. Last year you could have gotten away with this a little more than you could this year, in my opinion, the season that just having that short bench like we've had. And the margin for error was so slight. You didn't get the Georgia game 3 weeks ago. You didn't get the Ole Miss game. And this thing just mounted. It mounted and it snowballed. And now it's just completely out of control. That's what's happened here. And this season's over now.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going to stay on long. I'll jump off, Keith, let you answer that. I'm going to get off the phone here. But, you know, Shabari Phillips has ended up having a good year. Let's keep an eye on him, man. He's going to be a good player. Shabari's a great guy. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Back to our phones. Keith, respond.
Oh, no, I like both the guys we've signed. That's not – the two guys he signed in the early period are no problem. I don't think those are Andy Ikea core slash insert other horrible signing guys. I think we've signed two pretty good guys. It's just that they're not the kind of guys who are going to be frontline guys who can keep you competitive with what LSU's bringing in next year, A&M's bringing in. Now, I don't even count Kentucky. Everybody in this league's recruiting really well right now that's any good, and that's the problem.
Yeah,
we can't recruit until the NCAA decides what they're going to do or not do to us.
Pearl's really recruiting well. I mean, Pearl had a top 10 class down there.
He's
right?
Recruited? Well, he's recruited well. Let's see. I mean, those guys actually end up in school or are in prison in a couple of years, but we'll see.
I mean, your point is well taken. LSU's recruited well. They've recruited well.
A&M's recruiting out of their mind.
Extremely well. Florida has two transfers coming in. Vanderbilt's young and very good.
And
South Carolina's recruited well. And so the point is well taken. You know, it's like the car that is leaving the station here. But anyway. We'll go back to our phones, 865-200-5402, if you want to get in, and let's grab our next call. Hello and welcome.
What's going on, Tony?
Hey, welcome.
I did a jerky chain today when I was trying to get you to think it.
No, I knew better than that. But they said they ran into you today, Jeeker, and that's good stuff.
I thought I'd try to yank the chain, but I tell you what, guys, I love Tennessee basketball so much. I was sitting here tonight watching that game, Keith, and I'm at the end of the game. I'm pulling for so hard to try to get it as close to 10 points as we could get it. That's how much I love Tennessee basketball. You know, and I'll tell you what, I just love it. I love it so much. I love it so much more than football. And this Temple guy's going to get it done. He's going to get it done. But here's what I do wish he would do. And, Keith, I want your opinion on this. We got to get some shooters in here. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, I mean, the offense right now is a complete disaster. You've got to get somebody who can make an open three-point shot. There's no doubt about that. The problem is almost everybody else in college basketball has the same problem.
And here's the thing about it. And I hate to do some racial profiling. Peyton Woods is a hell of a damn three-point shooter. His father was one of the greatest point guards in Tennessee history. His father is a legendary coach up there at Wayne County, Kentucky. And the kid, a couple of weeks ago, makes 11 of 14 three-pointers, hits for 40 points in a game. Why in the hell would you not recruit that kid? Keith. Rodney was 5'11". His son is 6'4".
I'm just going to say, hey, Phil, sight unseen, I'm a horse racing guy. I believe in genetics. I would go see him play, and unless I thought he flat couldn't play, my assumption would be he could.
Exactly.
He would have to prove to me he couldn't play.
Yeah, and here's the thing about it. He's a coach's son. You know the guy can, don't get me started. And Tony, I'll leave you with that. But by God, Donnie Tindall needs to recruit that kid.
Jeeker, love you, brother. Thank you. 865-200-5402. Back to our phones if you want to get in with us tonight on the program. Love to hear from you as it is your smart way. Dalton Behringer Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Never heard of that kid, Peyton Woods. Where's he from? I've never heard of him.
Wayne County, Kentucky. Former Tennessee legend Rodney Woods.
Let's go back to our phones. You believe in genetics. I believe in offer lists, and that kid doesn't have an offer list. But I mean, I love him, and I love his father. And in a perfect world, we'd sign him, but I mean, we can't sign every legacy.
Look at Gary Payton Jr.'s offer list coming out of high school.
Do what?
Look at Gary Payton Jr.'s offer list coming out of high school. It wasn't terribly impressive either. Well, now he's probably about the fifth best player in the Pac-12.
You can always point to Hatfield. You can always point to one player here or there.
I'm just saying. I mean, how many of the – you and I are of an age, Tony, now that we saw great players play, the Fab Five guys and everything. Juwan Howard's kid was a great player. Wisconsin, the reason they're not going to end up being a number one seed is because Jim Jackson's kid broke his foot. I mean, I'm a big believer in genetics.
Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402, if you want to get in the hunt and in the mix. Billy Donovan is an excellent coach. 500 wins.
500 wins, he's been fantastic. He's
maybe the best hire in the history of this league.
I would probably say Spurrier just because he started winning at a place that should have won forever and didn't, but maybe Patino was the perfect guy to bring Kentucky back, but Billy Donovan certainly in the discussion. He's won two national championships at a school that couldn't care less about basketball.
Let's go back to Ferns.
I mean, that's like winning at Oklahoma or Texas, winning national championships at Florida.
Next call in, 865-200-5402. Oh, man. Tennessee loses tonight, 67-49, and the record is now an even 500. Keith, can I be of the opinion that if they finish over 500 with this team, that's an accomplishment? Or is that being a sheep? Hatfield.
Yes.
Am I being a sheep if I say if this team finishes over 500, that's a good year? From here.
Oh, especially from right from where they
from
are.
From right now. From right now.
Oh, they'll have done some good work if they finish above 500.
That means they either have to win their next two and lose one in the tournament and go out that way, or that would mean they would have to go 1-1 this week and then 2-1 in the SEC tournament.
Yes. If this team finishes above 500, they've done fantastic work. And honestly, given the personnel, I'm not going to lose my mind and say it's a horrible Tennessee team if they end up a game under 500. Or what? I mean, this team is what it is, Tony. I'm not going to beat on this team one way or the other. They gave us a lot of fun earlier. Sometimes as a fan, you have to kind of look back and say, did I enjoy any part of the season? I'll put it this way. I've enjoyed this team immensely more than I enjoyed Jerry Green's last year.
Here's another one for you. Here's another kid. Stephen Curry's offer list wasn't anything, and he's a pretty good player.
His brother, Seth, signed at Liberty. I mean, I'm just a big believer in Jeanette. Dale Ellis' son would have helped UT. I'm just a big believer that well, put it this way, name me Tim Hardaway Jr. Look at his offer list. Michigan was the one real big-time team that offered him. That turned out pretty well for him. People who grow up around, it's like in any profession, be it restaurants, being a lawyer, being whatever, if you grow up around it, you tend to end up being pretty good at it. That's my thought.
Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on your smart way, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello. Hello, is anybody there? I guess not. Let's go to get our next call in here at 865-200-5402. As two people fell off the line at the same time there, which is something magical and mystical. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony and Keith? It's Roberto.
Hey, man. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Roberto. I'd be a whole lot better if I'd gone to, I don't know, hung out with Keith tonight and had a few scotch on the rocks or something. I don't know. It was a pretty rough night. But it's not very good. And I would, Keith, you said earlier you're not going to throw it on the kids, and I won't either, but they're borderline terrible, right? I mean, they're playing just terrible.
Oh, no, the level of play has really decreased and fallen off the table in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I don't think there's any doubt about that. This team was playing pretty good basketball for a long stretch of time. From the time, from beating Kansas State to the point in the SEC where they were 12-5 overall, this was a pretty good basketball team.
Yep, I agree. And part of it is I do think they're getting tired. I'm not going to disagree with that. They're missing a post presence. They ran up against a bunch of teams later into their schedule that they just didn't match up well with at all. Specifically, you know, we were trying to out-athletic people, and we were there for a while, and then we got into some teams that actually played, you know, interior to the exterior, you know, inside-out basketball, and that really hurt us. But, guys, I have never in my days of watching basketball over 30 years, playing basketball for almost 18 years, never in my life have I ever seen a run of teams shooting threes another team like I have in the last 3 weeks. I've never seen
it. I know, we've had some bad luck. There's no doubt in my mind that we've kind of been the outlier for several teams.
Well, everybody's kind of jumping on the Tennessee shouldn't be playing zone, and to an extent, I agree with that, but number one, that's what Donnie Tindall does, and number two, I've just never seen, I mean, you can say, oh, some of those are uncontested. Dude, great shooters, even great shooters, uncontested, shoot about 50% from three. Even great ones shoot about 50% from three. I've never seen teams light up like they have in the last 3 or 4 weeks against us.
No, there's no doubt. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Every bad bounce, every bad review, every foul, every untimely mistake, every damn thing has fallen on these guys. And I'll tell you, they've played hard. Mm-hmm. Except for the last two nights, they've been in every game. They've done a lot of winning things. They've worked hard on the glass. The turnover numbers haven't been terrible. They were bad tonight. But that's the kind of stuff.
We turned them over more, didn't we?
Yeah, I'm talking about early in the game, though. When the game got out of hand tonight, we turned the ball over. That was the deal. And they were making threes. And the game was over.
No,
the game was over.
Done. We were done early.
Oh, 8 minutes in.
We dug it really quick.
Yeah, 8 minutes in. 8 minutes in, that game was over.
When they hit eight threes and we'd attempted seven, I knew it was pretty much downhill from there. it's just so funny. I'm sorry for interrupting.
You're not interrupting
anything. No, you're not interrupting anybody.
I still can't get over it, guys. Is it the defense, or is it other teams going off, or is it both? I want to hear your opinions on that, because I, honest to God, I used to play zone. I used to coach zone. I'm a big zone proponent. Actually, when I heard it was coming to Tennessee, I was a huge fan of it. And that's because I feel like if you force people to shoot threes, you're going to force them into bad shots. If you pack it in the paint, you're going to force teams, because Tennessee, truthfully, they have to pack it in the paint. Because they have nobody to guard a guy in the paint. Period.
Well, I think that's the problem, Roberto, is that this isn't the matchup zone he would like to play. Guys have to force in more off the wings to the post to help out there, but they're not out there. So the looks off the wings especially are far cleaner now than they would be if he had a roster more built to what he would want.
Guys, here's one other question, and I don't want to be the naysayer, but Tony, I think you alluded to it earlier this week, and, you know, when we were 12-5, it was going to be real hard for the big time donors and the people who have a whole lot of say and pull to be like, we're going to fire this guy if NCAA comes down hard, right? And now I don't know if that's necessarily the truth, because we're 14-14 now. But with that said, Keith, have you watched Boise State play basketball? I love their coach. I'm starting to really like their coach. I'm not saying we're getting rid of Tindall, but I'm saying, would he be a good replacement? Do you think he could be successful here? Talking about Leon Rice.
Leon Rice is a solid coach. I don't know if you can make your living recruiting foreign players. I mean, what Leon Rice is essentially doing is taking guys that would have been bench players at Gonzaga. And that certainly, that means you're a pretty good player.
Right.
And bring them to Boise. I mean, that's his background. That he's recruiting a lot of guys for, I don't know if you can do that in the SEC, but no, put it this way. We've hired a hell of a lot worse basketball coaches than Leon Rice.
Okay. Well, I've taken up too much of your show tonight. I do appreciate you letting me get on here. And the last thing I'll say, I'm still pleased with the effort I see. Tonight, it was off. Something was weird tonight. But Donnie's really getting up their tails, and I think that's a good thing. And he's really not letting Josh was dictating back to him and kind of getting back at him tonight, and he just shut that down, and I have a hell of a lot of appreciation for that. I'm the coach. You're the player. You do what I say. You listen to what I say. You don't talk back to me. And the other thing I want to say about Josh is I am surprised that he does not take a more forward-thinking role on our offensive end of the floor when we're really struggling to score points early in games. I mean, I think he took two shots in the first half, too. I mean, he can just force up shots for all I care at this point. But I just don't understand that. You enlighten me there. Have a good one.
I think that's interesting about Josh Richardson, Keith. He's had a month where he looks gassed, like the team looks gassed, and he's frustrated now.
Oh no, I thought the exchange between he and Donnie at the end, that was not good. Just, I'm not assigning blame, but having watched it and been around it long enough, I didn't much like the body language on Josh Richardson's point at that, and I'll put it this way. I think I've been as big a Donnie Tindall supporter as all, but at some point, quit whipping your thoroughbred and maybe occasionally hit the jackasses with the whip occasionally. Just saying.
Or if you're him, you just got to back off altogether now. You wonder if, I mean, it's worth asking this. You wonder if he gassed them with just going hardcore on them all the time. Cause they look like they are just beat into the ground, man. I mean, it looks like it is.
Well, I think they've been carrying a lot of, you've got, as you said, not many guys playing in a conference. I mean, it's not the Big 12. It's not the ACC, but this league is better than it has been. And you've only got really six guys contributing. That wears you out, especially. I would be much happier now if we're still playing a 16-game schedule in the SEC. I mean, now you're playing 18 and you're getting ground down. I mean, that's what's happened to them. I don't think there's any doubt.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. And I'm strumming a little guitar in here because I'm just trying to, I don't know. This I'm disturbed tonight. Tonight's game pissed me off. ESPN made me really upset with the way they were trying to assign blame to a Tennessee videographer the other night in the wake of that Vandy game and trying to manufacture a controversy where there was none. And then they run a scroll today at the bottom of their screen saying that Vanderbilt won't suspend McWilliams down there, won't suspend Kevin Stallings. Well, really, you're kidding. I mean, in whose world was that guy going to get suspended?
Well, they let a coach attempt to cover up a rape. Why would they suspend a guy for cursing a kid out?
Now, Keith, you're an attorney. You can't say stuff like that.
That's a good point, Keith.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, what's up, Tony? It's Doug from Jacksonville. It's your old friend from Jacksonville.
Were you there today?
I tweeted you. I was about seven rows up middle court. I know a couple of boosters, and we were able to get in. And one of my former players' parents have had some primo seats. So, you know, right at center court, I was in shouting distance of Donnie and those guys. And you're right; those guys look so tired. And I can't blame them. You know, when watching the national anthem,
you saw Tennessee with 10 guys dressed and, you know, Florida with 18 guys dressed. And, you know, it almost looked like a varsity against the JV side-wise. As I told a couple of Florida fans on the way to the game, I said, this game has major, major NIT and TBI implications.
Doug, you're a trip, man. That's good stuff.
I appreciate it. But you guys are right. I mean, they look tired. I can't blame them, you know, playing Thursday night and, you know, just the gauntlet of not being very deep. Here's one of the problems that I have, and I'll hang up and I'll let you guys discuss it. I mean, not much chance you're going to come back, but with 8 minutes left, I mean, the shot clock going down to 14 seconds and we're just kind of lollygagging around and, you know, there were some open shots and we just weren't even taking them at times. And it was almost just like there wasn't that much of a sense of urgency. They made a little run and got back, I think, to 15 or so with
15.
The ball.
15.
But it was just like, just kind of running through the motions a little bit, running, you know, like I said, they're playing like they were down 6 when they were actually down, you know, 16 to 20. And, last thing, you know, they made the Florida fans, obviously, they struggled this year. And they were just amazed at how well they played and amazed at how they're hitting their shots. And unfortunately, we made them look good today, but hopefully things will get better. You guys have a good night. Thanks, Tony. Love you.
Doug and Chatty, I mean, Doug down in Jaxie. Thank you, brother. Donnie Tindall tonight said, and I quote, he said, talking about his team, they're drawing and kicking, which is an interesting way of putting it. And it seems like a lot of teams have shot the ball well against us lately from the perimeter. He also says about the aforementioned Josh Richardson. Josh is going to get 10 to 15 shots every night. The biggest thing is we want him to get them and not make them force shots. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us, Fall Colonel's got a good point tonight, Keith. You know, after a game like this, or after a lot of, you know, a stretch of games, everybody wants someone or something to blame, and some people are pointing the finger at Tindall, and now you're hearing, like, Brian alluded to earlier, who works in campus ministry over there, you're hearing people whispering in the community that Tindall's really in trouble with the NCAA, that's coming down. Everybody, it seems like, Keith, needs somebody to blame or some level of drama these days, instead of just looking at the picture for what it is. And the picture now is that this was a limited basketball team with limited numbers that suffered injuries. If they would have stayed 100% healthy, this is a team that would have struggled to win 18 games, 100% healthy.
Well, Tony, at the start of the year, we thought it would be a team that would be lucky to play 500 basketball.
Yep.
Guess what? With a week to go in the season, there's 500 basketball
games. Now, there's different ways to get to 500. There's the Konzo Martin way, which is you tank in December. You
right.
Look like pure slop in January, and then you play a great stretch of basketball. He even did that at Cal this year. I think they've come back off, haven't
that.
They?
Randy Moore and I talked about that on the show yesterday, Tony. Absolutely. If this team had won 8 of its last 10 going into tonight to get to 14 and 13, everybody would be fired up. It's all the last thing you saw out of a team in sports today. Fans, it's not the nature of a fan to look at the big picture. I mean, that's not being a fan. If you're sitting around always, I mean, that's for general managers and coaches and guys like that. I mean, a fan wants to see, I want to see my team doing well right now. So, and this team isn't. This team's playing really, really bad basketball right now.
What I don't get is how a Sixer fan, a Knick fan, and a Laker fan, how they sit through that this year. Knowing you're doing that on purpose to yourself. I mean, these guys are doing it. That's something I don't understand. Let's go back to the phones.
Laker fans know the legal rig something to get them back at the top.
Casper Keller knows something I don't. He says February Sadness is a prequel to March Madness.
if this team wins more than one game
rest of the way
in the SEC tournament,
you gonna strip naked down Gay Street?
No, I'm trying to think of something a little more. First of all, that would be palatable to the public.
I think you and your skivvies with Bino, I'll say it for Bino right now. Bino will wear, let's see, what will he do? He's going to wear a pink Speedo, pink and white Speedo.
If Tennessee wins more than one game in the SEC tournament, I will find something that resembles my favorite, the baby blue Ric Flair robe, the always one, so you knew when he's coming to the ring he was going to win the title that night. I will find something like that and strut from in front of the downtown Grill and Brewery to the First Tennessee Bank on Gay Street.
Naked?
No, wearing the robe and probably far more. As I said, Tony, you've got to make it palatable to the audience.
Let's go back to our phones, Gary. Next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks very much. I've actually listened all season long. First time I've called.
Oh, thank you, man.
In any case, you addressed the two things I wanted to ask. Number one, Keith brought it up, and I guess we had to go after this game, but having watched the team all year long, and particularly Josh and the pressure on him, you know, it's kind of a stalling thing. You don't know when you're on TV and when you're not, but this deal of tearing into this kid, I mean, who is, if there's ever a VFL who, you know, played hard D last year, then scored when we needed to get us to the Sweet 16, switch positions this year, 38 minutes a game. Give the guy a break. I mean, and I'm a Donnie fan, and we're obviously in a bad spot here, and I don't think anybody's jumping ship from what I've heard. But the second point was, Tony, you answered the question while I was on hold. You know, you said we know where we are or where we were supposed to be, and I guess we are there. My question to you two guys is, number one, everybody, including you guys, you know, we're dancing around this Tindall thing because we don't know in terms of the NCAA. I don't want to get into what you hear, what you don't hear, you know, the stuff buzzing on campus. But fact is, if obviously we're at the end of the season, if the 10 or 20 game suspension, which seems to be the way everybody's talking, occurs at the beginning of the year and we've got this hanging over our head as we head through the summer, where does that leave us? And the second question I have for both of you is, I'm a big fan of Donnie, and obviously they play their butts off. He coaches his tail off. But is Donnie Tindall a guy, as you talked about the recruits, that's going to bring in, you know, the threes and the fours to get us to the level where we're playing in the top tier of the SEC? Because what I see in the SEC the last 5 years is everybody's got the three stars. A coach can coach him up, but you're never going to get to the elite and be a Billy Donovan until you've got those four and five star players. And it seems to me Donnie's career has been built on grit, blue collar, hard work. Is he going to get a four and five star to come in here, particularly in the next year or in the year after, with this thing hanging over his head? The Southern Miss, Morehead State guy.
I'll tell you what, you answer your questions. What do you think's going to happen? Let's start with you.
With me, as the common guy sitting in Norris, Tennessee right now, what I've heard, and who knows, the Bruce Pearl 10, maybe 15 game suspension to start the year. And the question is, who's the coach? Big Gulp? There's no Tony Jones.
No, it won't be Big Gulp.
No, this is not a shot at somebody who's always been good to the Basilio radio fan.
Don't you take a shot at Tony Jones. It's going to be,
Al Pinkins has far more credentials to be coaching.
Oh, Keith. It's going to be probably Shoemate is who I would think they would name, but I think we're a long way from that because I hope
that's what we end up doing.
Yeah, I don't want to get into it tonight. Here's the thing about this. You hear so much. I've had people tell me this year, I've had people stop me on the street and go, hey, you know, they're going to have a new coach by Thursday and it's Ben Howland. And I'm like, oh, okay. And that was back in December. Guy stopped me. But he has people inside and he has sources close to Dave Hart. And then I have people tell me, well,
a hairdresser,
you know, Tindall's here no matter what. Which I don't know if that's the case. I don't, think that's the case, that he's here no matter what. I still think this thing is very much up in the air. You know, I don't think it's really had a huge impact on the way they've played. Obviously, it's going to have some impact on recruiting. And I'll leave you this. I'll leave you one thought for you, sir. And I listen to people who know a lot more about this than I do, and Keith's one of them. People compare what Donnie Tindall does to what Greg Marshall did at Winthrop to what he's doing right now at Wichita State, and Wichita State does not recruit in the upper echelon. They beat people because they're tougher than them. They beat people because they bloody people's noses. And I talked to Donnie about that off the air. I said, is that, when you get this thing to full strength, is that your model? And he said, that is absolutely my model. He said, the what those guys do, that is my model. He said, so they do not recruit. They don't have to recruit top 100 players there. And they are a Final Four caliber basketball team. And they are again this year. They're a team that, like Keith said, if Kentucky draws them in the 16, they will have a hell of a fight to get to the 8 against those guys. And that's all you can ask for here. I mean, if we had that level program here, we'd take that all day long.
Well, we'd be drawing 20,000 people in that.
Yeah, I think that's right. And he doesn't do it with 4- and 5-star players. I'm just trying to give you something else to think about.
Yep.
That's the model. That's what Jerry Meyer tells me and some other guys, even some assistant coaches in this league say, hey, I'll say this about Donnie Tindall, and I've had guys tell me this. They say he is not afraid to coach his team. I've had more than one person in this league tell me that.
Hey, I feel better. Appreciate it, guys.
Well, thank you. And hey, have a great day. And here's the thing about it. That said, I don't know if he's going to be here next year.
Well, I think, but as you said, Tony, the two models, and I've been saying this since I started my association with your show and even before that, the model for Tennessee should be Wichita State and Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Those are the models. I mean, occasionally there'll be an in-state kid who grew up in a family that loves UT that, yeah, well, you can get the occasional 5-star here. You're probably even a little better position than a Wichita State. But if you think suddenly we're going to start becoming an NBA factory where we just cycle them through like a Kentucky or a Kansas, well, that's never happening here.
Well, you got to be who you are. You know, if you grow a couple of those guys, that's great.
Absolutely.
You got to be who you are. Wichita is who they are. Wichita doesn't have a bunch of NBA players on their basketball team. They didn't when they made the run. They had a bunch of great college basketball players. But really, they had a bunch of guys that were tougher than everybody else.
Right. Klay Anthony Early's in the NBA. Maybe Van Fleet and Baker make it.
Maybe.
But that's three guys that, if all three of them hit, go to the NBA. How many Final Four teams have only three NBA guys?
Correct. From a great 4-year run. Those guys have had a great 4-year run here.
Oh, they're losing. They lost one game last year. They've lost three this year. They were in the Final Four the year before and the tournament losing, I think, 6 games the year before. That's staggering.
Back to the phones we go. And that's your and that's a great way of putting it. I'll make a note here. That'd be a good blog topic. Wichita State. Pittsburgh. And you're talking about Pittsburgh under Ben Howland, Jamie Dixon.
I'm talking about under Jamie. I mean, the team Jamie had that lost